You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are delighted to welcome in Brian Scalabrine. He is Radio.com Sports NBA Insider. Insider calls brought to you by Quip. Go to getquip.com/2019. And get your first refill pack for free. And Brian joins us on the El Pamonte Ford Hotline, El Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Morning, Brian.
I'm doing well. You know, I'm kind of snowed in up in Boston, I'm happy, man. It's like last night, just chilled, watched NBA games, and it's a good time. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we appreciate you coming on, and that storm's awful. It's hit New York and shut down New York, and the whole East Coast has been subjected to this thing. And be safe. I mean, it sounds pretty scary.
Yeah, once I get off this call, I got to go out there and shovel the driveway.
We'll take up a lot of your time.
Yeah, the kids woke up and they're like, "We got school." I'm like, "Well, you guys got a 2-hour delay. That's the good news. The bad news is you guys got to come outside and help me plow this driveway." So
get to work.
both smiles turned to frowns pretty quickly.
Well, Brian, here in Chicago, the Bulls are not exactly off to the start they envisioned. Last night they get a victory out in Sacramento. They're 1-2 on the West Coast swing. Been a disappointing year, no question about it. One of the biggest mysteries surrounds Lauri Markkanen. Last night was the first time this season that he and Zach LaVine both scored 20 or more points.
Uh-huh.
When you watch the Bulls, does his lack of productivity baffle you the most, or what is it if it's not that?
So, listen, I could be completely wrong by this, but the way I look at basketball is you want to win in the NBA nowadays, especially with the lack of physical contact. One, you have to have a guy that you go to down the stretch. Now, that could be Zach LaVine, but a guy you can really count on to get you buckets in the last 4 minutes if you have a close game. The problem when I watch the Bulls, and in particular Lauri Markkanen, is the ball doesn't move as freely as it should. Now, I get it. They're low turnover, which is important. They take care of the basketball, and defensively they're active with their hands, and that's part of it. I think they lead the league in turnover differential, but the issue is, every time the ball passes, there's like a quarter second delay. Like, I'm going to get mine. Well, I can't. Now I move it. When the ball moves freely, Lauri Markkanen will be good because that's the type of player he is. Like, dude, if you're moving the ball around the perimeter and he gets a wide open shot and now he knocks it down, somewhere down the road, his man's going to start creeping towards him and now the lane's going to open up. It's the NBA that we play in now. And quick decision makers make the difference. So, when the Bulls start moving the ball freely and they start sharing, you know, I think they're, 22nd, 23rd in assist. Once they start creeping that number up, Markkanen will play better, and I think they will play better because they do a lot of good things. The only thing that really stands out to me is everyone's looking to get theirs when they get the ball, and that's not conducive to being successful in the league the way the league is called, especially in the regular season and especially the first 44 minutes of the game.
Well, you know what's confusing is – this is a team that has been in games but doesn't know how to close them. It's almost as if they don't they don't know who their go-to guy is, and Zach LaVine is convinced it's him, and that doesn't always work. How does a team learn how to close? That seems to be their biggest problem. And even last night, they were up 19 at one point, and it ended up, at the end of the game, they're kind of clutching for a win again.
Yeah, I mean, I think – for them, it will be like, and this is like, big time players close, big time, like top tens. Even there's some special players out there, like a Lou Williams type of guy to close. There are some players that can close. Like Zach LaVine is not at that point now where every night, if you give him the ball, you know you're going to get good shots or from his shot or somebody else's shot. So they got to do it a little bit differently. Like I cover the Boston Celtics. I go to all their games. Over the course of time, Brad Stevens has changed. He's in the past gone with a play, a ball movement, a dribble handoff to a kick ahead to a look inside to a look weak side. Like, they've done things as a team. But when he had Kyrie, or now he has Kemba and Jason Tatum, like, now he's gone to more, let's give the ball to these guys and we think that we can get a good shot. It's not the way that a lot of people want to play, but for the Bulls, and I not sure that they're in that area yet. They got to play with ball movement down the stretch. They got to move the ball side to side and try to get some late action down the stretch, not just give the ball to one guy, have a bunch of people standing around, and all of a sudden see if you can win. No, come off the screen with Wendell Carter. Get the ball to the second side. Have Coby White try to get to the lane. Now move it from there. That's the biggest thing for them down the stretch and during the games. I just don't think they move it side to side fast enough.
Brian, reading body language can be dangerous, but there have been a couple snippets where you watch Jim Boylan interact with his players, and it seems as if they might be tuning him out a little bit, and they might be not all on the same page at all times. And you wonder about the effect over time of a rah-rah coach on a young team. Today is the anniversary of Jim Boylan taking over as the head coach of the Bulls. And I just wonder, from the outside looking in, I know that he gets a lot of criticism and scrutiny here in Chicago, but outside the city, what is the perception of Jim Boylan and the job he's doing with the Bulls?
Yeah, so it's I know he's a good coach. No, there's no doubt about that. He knows how to coach. He knows basketball. I've watched him operate. He knows exactly how to hold a lead, typically, and what a team's strengths are and taking away and what to emphasize with his team. I know that. The issue is, going back to what you said just 1 year ago, the idea that, if you remember early on, he was doing the wholesale subs. He was like, in a way, it's like calling his team out, calling out your starters, saying like, these guys didn't bring it today, so let's put them on the bench. And that's, NBA players can handle that once in a while. NBA players could say, coach is right, we got to be better today. But if it's always the player's fault, if after the game, if he doesn't say things like, hey, that's on me, I got to do a better job of getting my guys ready. We can't come out, 14-2 starting the game. If when they came out and did this, my team was not prepared. And so there has to be some level of accountability from him. Now, I'm not saying he's not doing that, but the players have to feel that. They have to know that he's taking responsibility just as much as they are. Because when you heard earlier in the year that he benched Zach LaVine, and Zach was like, how is that all on me? How is our bad start just fall on me? And then he says, well, hey, you blew three defensive assignments during that time. You want to go down that road, by all means do it. But that's a dangerous road to go down when a player has $80 million coming to him in a guaranteed contract. And there are plenty of other suitors out there for Zach LaVine to say, yeah, no problem. You don't want me? You don't want to play me? Someone else will take me on. Because a lot of other coaches or organizations will think to themselves, of course, we'll take his talent because our culture, and we'll get him to do what we want him to do. We would not call him out the way that they do. So it's a dangerous road to go on as a head coach, but you do have to hold your team accountable. I just think that balance is a very tricky one.
Brian, I don't know if this is an aberration, and I don't know how you feel about plus minus, but yesterday the Bulls reserves, every one of them, a double digit plus and plus minus, and all five starters a minus.
So you're saying there's going to be a change in? Yeah, I mean, that
35-24 with the reserves over bench points, and the reserves are playing better than the starters, I guess, if you
but they're
plus
also
minus.
Going against reserves.
Yeah, exactly.
Also,
right.
You know what I mean? So that you have to factor that in. Listen, starting lineup changes could happen. I always find, and no fault to the media, it does seem to make a lot of sense, right? Like, hey, we're not getting off to good starts. We need to switch things up. But the basketball is a funny sport. It is so easy to turn something around. It could be an effort play. It could be trying to get out and running early versus slowing the pace down. So, yeah, when the backups come in and they play free, or if the backups are down by 15 and they build themselves back in, and then the starters come back and they lose the lead again, it's always different. Like, playing up 20 is different than playing down 20. Like, there's all those dynamics into it. But if you're consistently getting off to a bad start, then either A, you make a change, which I'm not a big proponent of. I think it's more B, we emphasize getting off to a good start. We emphasize what are the two things we need to do in this first quarter to get off to a good start. We're not rebounding the ball. We're not moving the ball. We're not attacking the paint. Whatever they are, NBA players are more than capable of doing it, and their roster is a good roster. They're more than capable of going out there and doing it. It's just what coaches decide to emphasize during those first 12 minutes of, or even let's cut it even down further, the first 6 minutes of the game. there is an issue. What is the issue? Emphasize that. And listen, other issues will pop up over the course of 82 games. But whatever Coach Boylan has to decide, like, these are, this is the way for us to take our game to the new level or to get off to a good start. Those are the things that have to be done. Now, going back to the Zach LaVine benching, if it was defensively, we have to have a presence on the ball. We have to impact the ball. We can't just be soft defensively in the first quarter. And if Zach LaVine didn't do it, then you have to take him out because you emphasize that. It was clear as day to everybody. The issue comes when you're not emphasizing things, you're not telling players what your expectations are going into that first quarter or going into, you know, a different way to start the half. You guys remember the unbelievable Bulls teams. Like Michael Jordan and that 72-win team, his whole thing was, I want to be sitting in the fourth quarter. So we got to come out like gangbusters in the third and push this lead up. And that was their emphasis. And night in and night out, they tried to accomplish that goal.
Okay, good point. So more specifically then, when you look at Coby White, and I think that a quarter way through this season, I've liked the way that they have used him with the second team coming off the bench because I think that he's a rookie. You incorporate him slowly. He's 19 years old. All those things are still true. At the same time, if you're looking for a spark immediately, how long before you're tempted to start him? And would that make any bit of a difference?
Yeah, so that's interesting. It would go like the way that I would look at – this is how I look at all young players, right? Remember – young players have played, they played AAU, but it's not as intense as the NBA. They've gone to college, they've played 30-something games. During that time, just even an NBA 32 minutes is so different than a college, you know, 36 minutes. So when it comes to a young player, the development would more than just like, hey, everyone thinks, just throw him out there and play him a bunch and then he'll get good some days. Sometimes it's about like pacing a guy the right way. So you look at Coby White. When I watch him play, I think he's a hard-playing guy. I'm not sure that he can play 35 minutes a night over the course of 82 or over the course of what we call like 3.75, and that's what the average amount of games are per week for these guys. So maybe his minutes, it makes sense for him to play free with the second unit, go out there, and we want to keep him at 22, and then 2 months in, we want to put him at, you know, 26. So when I would focus on a young player, I would focus on with my medical and there's all, you know, sports science. It wouldn't just be like what I decide to do. It would be like, how can we get it so we can build his minutes up by the end of the year, but we don't want him to have a nagging injury. I'll give you an example. In Boston, Gordon Hayward, you guys remember the horrific injury.
Right.
They had this huge game plan for Jason Tatum to be able to develop, but still be able to work out, get in the weight room, get his shots up, work on some of his weaknesses. Gordon Hayward goes down. That's 32 minutes that you now have to fill. Jason Tatum took those minutes. But during that first year, a lot of things had to slip because he was playing so many minutes and his body was not capable of handling the weight, developing him his game, and playing the minutes that he had to play. In the Bulls situation, the way that they used Coby White, They could develop him. They can get him a little bit stronger during the season, which is a lot of times the best thing for him in his career over the course of whatever it's 5, 10, 15 years.
Great stuff, Brian. Thank you a ton.
Thanks, Brian.
You got it. Anytime, guys.
Good stuff.
That was Radio.com Sports NBA Insider Brian Scalabrine. Insider Calls brought to you by Quip. Go to getquip.com/2019. And get your first refill pack for free. And make sure you check out Brian's show, Scal and Pals. It's on radio.com and the radio.com app. A great listen for all NBA fans. Just search Scal wherever you find your podcast.
He's smart.
S-C-A-L.
Can the Bulls hire him?
Oh, he's a
or something
great guy.
In the organization?
Yeah,
smart
no question
guy.
About it.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.